then opens her eyes again and smiles at me more broadly. I would like to lean over and kiss her, but a moon-faced woman is sitting across the aisle of the carriage, and she has been observing us ever since Middlesbrough. I resent the woman. I don't want an audience. There is also a man in a cowboy hat, but he has been asleep. He wakes up at Mask and gets off just in time. When we leave the train, it is bitterly cold. The street light fails to hide the hard, sharp points of stars. Lana hangs on to me, but she stumbles and I have to catch her. "Bloody silly shoes," she says, removing her high heels and carrying them. "Nothing to do with the cocktails?" "Of course not. Anyway, you'll look after me if we've had too many drinks," she says. "I trust you to make sure I'm okay. You're the sensible one, Mr. Reliable." I have always worried that she depends on me too much, and my fear is even greater now. How will she react when she learns what I have concealed from her for all these years? There is nobody about at this time of night to check our tickets, and only three or four other people have alighted from the train. It isn't far, through the station, left onto Milton Street before we come to our house at the head of Sapphire Street. I say, "I'm amazed."